Daily news, breaking updates, and exclusive podcasts. iTricks.com.
Welcome to the Magic Week in Review, bringing you news, rumor, and culture reports from the front lines of the magic industry. I'm Justin Robert Young, editor of iTricks.com. Joining me is one of my favorite people on the planet. Yes, Revision 3 Scam School host and author of the brand new Scam School Book 1, an ebook that is taking the world by storm in only under 24 hours of its release, Brian Brushwood.
Oh, my God. It is so good to be back here. This is the podcast that started it all for me. You were my first big magic podcast. No. Yes. No.
Well, there was another podcast that was also calling itself the Magic Week in Review at the time that has since not called it the Magic Week in Review. But yeah, I think me and Dodd interviewed you right around the same time. And we bicker about it on who was first.
You did. It was actually kind of adorable. This is Scam School is what brought us together, because I knew about iTricks and I knew of you. But then when the phone rang and it's like, holy crap, it's iTricks. They want to interview me for my little Scam School show. So it's very exciting.
Absolutely. All right. Well, real quick, let me remind everybody, trickshopmagic.com is where you need to go to buy all your magic needs. Folks, Sam Blankenship runs a real tight ship. He's got the best thing going. He's the best deal going today right there is a trick shop, because they're a brick and mortar magic shop. Okay. It's not some fly by night crazy clearinghouse in an unmarked warehouse down in a shady district where a bunch of pimps and hustlers are plying their trade, and they're going to ship you a thumb tip from there or some crazy flash in the pan nonsense. No, this guy is going to give you exactly what your routine needs, what you need as an artist to get better, whether or not it's the hot new thing. Trickshotmagic.com is where you need to go. Tell them iTrick sent you. Brian.
Yes, sir.
Scam School Book 1. Now, let me just get this out beforehand. Brian has not paid any money for me to endorse his product. Magic ad is a paid ad. Brian has not paid me anything. I will say this. Scam School Book is the most revolutionary instructional ebook I've ever seen in any form. It is designed from the ground up with the ebook format in mind. The pictures are fantastic. They're all original photography. He's got links to all the Scam School episodes that he talks about. It's 200 episodes worth of Scam School content in there. Original videos and original audio commentary. Let's start from the beginning.
Yeah.
Why did you want to do this?
Because it is amazing to me how many people keep asking for either a DVD set or a book. And a DVD set is good because you would get audio commentaries and that kind of stuff. But the problem is it would be the exact same video content that you get on the web, and you'd have it would be, I guess, slightly more convenient if you had bad bandwidth to have the physical
DVD. The DVD idea seems kind of awkward. I mean, I remember I bought like the Strong Bad Emails DVD set, and I was so super excited because I love the Strong Bad Emails, but like, then I never watched the DVD. Like, I watched the DVD once and I realized, like, wow, I really don't want to watch an hour's worth of Strong Bad Emails as much as I love this show and I love watching it weekly.
Yeah, exactly. One, that's the thing, is that the book was a more appealing idea because it would be a much more condensed way to get the knowledge. Because especially nowadays with what's possible with ebooks, in a physical book, it's like, it's frustrating to have to read like four or five paragraphs in a row just to understand which way to hold your freaking pinky on there. But then as an ebook, you're able to, you've got the words, you can put the subtleties and the explanations in there, but then you could also click and watch a 10-second short video showing multiple angles, showing exactly how to hold the cards for this trick or that trick.
And it's a lot more mobile than, let's say, if you were to sell a bunch of branded, you know, video content, right? Like, yeah. If you were to sell a DVD, now you can, especially in a smartphone and iPad world, in a post PC world, as many call it, you are able to take all this stuff with you wherever you go. Now, real quick, before we go any further, I just want to pull the curtain back on everybody listening to this via podcast. We're recording it live on YouTube on their brand spanking new. There's packing peanuts everywhere. their live stream function, which means we have a lot of people who are unfamiliar with the Magic Week review, and some even Brian himself, beyond just what you've done on Scam School, that are asking a lot of questions here live. So
you want to take the questions for the
take questions from everybody watching live periodically. So keep sending them right there in the comments section, and I will read them, where they fit, or if I see a good one. So just so you guys know who are listening right now via podcast, if I just say something like, let's say, oh, Kush 69, awesome show. That's not a question. That's a comment. But just so you know, I'm not just saying random words. I'm going.
You don't have a disease that causes you to randomly shout a series of numbers and letters and then a question or comment.
Exactly. I'm not. It's not Irish Weed 69. Oh, Kush 69.
So can I tell you what I honestly think is? I don't think many people are buying the book for this purpose, but I suspect this will be the most popular application for the book, is the fact that you can keep it on your smartphone now. Because one of the unique things about Scam School is people really do all these tricks at the bars. And a lot of times people have a hard time thinking like, oh, well, do I know? What are the tricks I know? In the heat of the moment, it's easy to forget. But when you have the book and you can just kind of review and get that answer before, because there's nothing worse than getting halfway through a trick and forgetting the answer to the puzzle or for setting it up incorrectly and look like a total dumbass.
Well, let's dial it back just even further than this project. Now, these kind of frustrations don't just, you know, aren't born out of nowhere. You have, you know, a lifetime of magic instruction before you even do a show like Scam School or become a working professional like you are. Where were your inspirations in terms of magic instruction growing up?
Oh, that's a really good question. The foreword of the book, it talks about the first time I met Teller and how Teller's essay was so inspirational. And in the decade and a half we've been corresponding by email, he's never failed to respond to an email promptly. And I hear that about Teller for everywhere. And it meant so much for me getting started that as soon as Scam School became popular and as soon as people started sending me emails, you'll notice every single episode of Scam School, we give out my email address. And that's not just smokescreen. That's like I really do read and respond to every single fan mail, every suggestion for the show, because it meant so much to me that when Teller did it that I wanted to pay it forward and do the exact same thing.
So, but Teller doesn't do magic instruction, right? They had their video, the Penn and Teller, Cruel Tricks for Dear Friends, where they explain stuff, which, by the way, if anybody hasn't, there's a few clips of that on YouTube. I think maybe the entire thing is on YouTube. That is so, it's so awesome to just kind of remember, because as their act has evolved and as Penn and Teller have gotten older, they're still uniquely Penn and Teller, but they're not the Penn and Teller that they were, nor should they be, because they're an original act that is, you know, evolved and grown and everything. But it's kind of great to just see that frozen moment in time where, that version of Penn and Teller with the Penn's crazy mullet action and all that stuff. But aside from like that video, when you were younger, like what was the stuff? How did you learn magic?
I got started in magic just as Michael Amar was launching his Easy to Master Card Miracle series. And it was really revolutionary because just even little things like the super practice sessions where he would explain it. And then it would be just some classical music as they looped the exact move four or five times at different speeds and different angles. It was very high tech at the time. Of course, this is early 90s and obviously moved well beyond that. And I think
they just invented cuneiform. Which is what Amar's book was written in.
On VHS cuneiform. It was amazing. But I think that there's always been a relationship between magic and technology, you know, where it's like with each phase of technology, you're able to create new kinds of magic, but you're also able to create new kinds of magic instructional materials, which is another thing that has me very excited with the book. But as far as instructional style, I've worked very hard. You know, and I know, and I suppose a lot of the magicians out there listening know, that there's a number of magic materials out there that are just not practical. You know, start off by talking about your travels in India and how you came across this magical amulet.
Well, they're routines, and they're routines for people that are in a very specific point in their career. Like you are a traveling magician, you perform gigs, you have a set thing where it's very modular. You start a bit, you go to another bit, you go to another bit, and you want to work in a modular element to that, you know, but it's not for beginners or, you know, people who are just interested in magic, and magic's always been a youth oriented kind of thing.
You know what it is? It's a lot of people sell the costume that they wear for the trick, and then people pick it up, and because it's in the instructions, they try to wear the same costume, and it ends up not fitting. It looks ridiculous on them. Nobody believes that you were just in India last week. We saw you in homeroom class.
Yeah.
So that's something that from the beginning, I wanted Scam School to be stripped away of that kind of BS. If there is any kind of costuming, it's hopefully just natural personality or speaking off the cuff. I try really hard to never sound like I've got a script or anything like that. And I suspect that's worked out pretty well for the crop of magicians who have grown up on Scam School. And that's another thing that blows my mind. We're 4 years into Scam School now, which means there are some people whose entire understanding of magic is shaped by the over 200 episodes that we have built moving forward.
I'll tell you, we have a lot of live viewers right now. I'd love to see people in the chat room react if the only thing they've ever seen of magic instruction, learning magic, has been Scam School, because I would suspect that it's quite a bit of people. Now, I told you I would take questions from the chat room, and I cannot find the name of the person since it's moving fairly fast. But somebody asks, this is right now an ebook. Of course, you can buy it on iBooks or Barnes & Noble or Amazon. You can go to scamschoolbook.com if you want all those options laid out for you like a gorgeous buffet. But people are asking, is there any plan for you to do a hard copy of the book?
I would love to. That's one of those things where it's going to depend on what opportunities we have to do it. To be honest, it was a real tough decision to both decide what we wanted to do with it and in what way we wanted to get the word out on it. And originally, 2 years ago, I had talked about going out and actually getting a traditional book publishing deal. But the problem is those are highly inefficient. And a lot of people don't believe that magic actually sells very well. So we obviously have a very passionate online following with Scam School. And this was an opportunity to just have no stakes. Like, it's not going to kill you. I can create an ebook. There's it's very easy to get it pushed out to all different platforms simultaneously. And then when it does, it would be great if 6 months from now I could call a publisher and say, hey, my name is Brian Brush, and I know you've never heard of me, but I have the number 1, 2, 3, and 4 top magic books in all of the Amazon store. And once that happens, then we could talk about a deal. I'd rather come from a ground up perspective where we already have a proven commodity, not a top down where I'm trying to convince them that I'm worth something going into the negotiation.
But, you know, at that point, would it be more feasible for you to just do it yourself?
I mean, maybe. The problem is, like, I self-published The Professional's Guide to Fire Eating, and that's a hassle. You got to front thousands of dollars to get it all physically printed, and then you personally have to go and make all the commitments with all the different distributors out there. And so nowadays, I essentially only sell The Professional's Guide to Fire Eating on Amazon because it's easy. And I don't want to be in a warehouse fulfilling goods. I want to be out on the road performing. I want to be doing Scam School or the live podcasting stuff.
Yeah.
So if I am going to do it as a print book, it'll have to be where somebody wants to front the cash to me and they want to handle everything.
All right. We're going to go back to the YouTube chat room. King of Cards 91. That there's people in the magic community that feel it's unethical to sell these secrets for so friggin' cheap? Now, there's two parts to this. Number one, I think the more prevalent is, do you think that there's people who think that these secrets should not be out there? Because technically, you really can't bitch about the fact that these secrets are cheap because you've given them away on Scam School for free. So,
well, and nothing's free. I mean, look, it takes your time and it takes your effort. If I wanted to give away the secrets, it would be to me, what we do on Scam School is not in any way giving something away. The very structure of Scam School requires you to invest the time and effort. It's not fun to watch Scam School if you just want to know the secret. It is fun to watch Game School if you want to learn the trick. And I think that's all anyone wants in Magic, is what we want are more talented magicians out there. That's the difference between exposure is you just want to know how it's done so you can scratch that mental itch. Teaching is you want to gain the skill so that you could be in the club. And that's why people are so excited to have young magicians coming into their local Magic club. Nowadays, though, it's a lot different. Most young magicians are getting their start on YouTube, and YouTube is this mixed bag. It's a semi cesspool of kids full on ripping off the work of magicians out there and explaining the tricks poorly for free, or just exposing tricks, or you know, performing and lying with camera moves. There's so much noise out there. There's one thing I wanted to do with Scam School from the beginning. That was, number one, teach high-quality materials. Number two, always showcase the minds who make these things happen. That's why for everything we have on Scam School, we always, if the originator of the effect is known, we call him up personally, and I invite him to come out on the show or feature his tricks. Obviously, your friend of mine, Andrew Main, Diamond Jim Tyler, Bob Neal, Banachek, so many people have, Michael Amar, so many big names have gotten behind Scam School because I think it's a good ambassador for Magic. I think it teaches respect for the craft and for, you know, and keep in mind also, we're not really a Magic show. Magic is one of the things we cover in the show. We cover street crime, we cover pseudoscience and hustles and scams. It's called Scam School, not Magic School.
Absolutely. All right. Now, we have another question. I'll tell you what, the questions keep coming in good from the YouTube channel. It's going to make my job very easy because I don't have to think of anything. Your friends and mine at Theory 11, I assume it's JB, Jonathan Bain behind the keyboard, asks, Brian, some focus on books. Some focus on books. Some focus on books. We focus on video. This being Theory 11, which is gigantic and successful and amazing.
Oh, man, they're huge.
You do both. What are the distinctions you draw between learning magic by books and by videos? What is unique to either medium?
That's a really, really good point. Whenever, and this is just my opinion. At this point, I'm just talking out my butt, JB. When the problem, the risk you run with a video instruction is that when you can see everything, it becomes much easier to simply parrot everything that you're seeing. And then you end up, as we discussed earlier, wearing somebody else's costume that doesn't really fit because you're making the same jokes that Daniel Garcia did because you heard him say it on Scam School. Whereas with books, it forces you to internalize the material from a presentation standpoint, and you understand the mechanics, but then it forces you to figure out like, okay, I'm going to have to say something to give an excuse for me to turn around and look at this object. Those are the things that I don't even know that it's bad necessarily. It's just a factor to consider that I know that I went around doing a Michael Amar impression for like 3 years after learning all of his stuff from his L&L.
But would that be so? That would be more with video. That video, yes. You watch the mannerisms, you hear the jokes, you hear the inflections of the jokes, and now you're talking about, and you find yourself, like your voice raises, like, well, what you really don't know is...
Yes, you find yourself adopting the same sing-song pattern, you're like, not suspect, let alone detect that there's... You know, it's I'm sure.
Oh my God, that would be an amazing YouTube video if we just did, like, people... Like doing the impressions of their heroes as they learn the effects.
God, yes, dude, that would be amazing. I would so do a Michael Amar impression.
And we'll just do it. We'll have them like side by side of like Michael Amar from the L&L video. And then like without you rewatching it, like you just remembering that routine.
That would be awesome.
You could probably just do an entire one with just Michael Amar, with just those easy to master card miracles videos.
I just want to rock that mustache. That's all I want to do.
He's a superior human being. All right, so that's what video. I guess that would be almost more of a hurdle with video that you would want to get over is maybe stirring the creativity pot, so you're not looking at this as a blueprint, but rather a spark for your own routine.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. That is a handicap of it. But it's one of those things that I think people will start off copying it because they need that structure just to get started. But hopefully, you know, I'm fond of saying whatever's wrong with your show, it's nothing that 1,000 performances won't fix. And so oftentimes, like I've spent years thinking that what I was doing was too close to the video that I learned it from. And then I go back 3 years later and look at the original routine. I'm like, holy crap, this is nothing like what I do now. How did I change? Like, you never even notice the change, but you find all these little beats where you inject your own personality in there and you're no longer relying on the crutch of somebody else's material.
You know, I guess it's, I think it was in the Conan commencement speech from 2 years ago. He talked about how you shouldn't be shy about ripping off your heroes, because if you are truly a creative person and you try, like if you are a creative person and you try to rip somebody off, you are physically incapable of doing it the further you get into it. That like David Letterman tried to do his impression of Johnny Carson and wound up being something completely different. And Conan O'Brien did his impression of David Letterman and came off something, you know, completely different. So there's almost this dual, it's like a dual engine sort of thing. Like there's understanding the structure of why you're heroes and the love of why you want to do what they do, but then you can't neglect that other engine, which is the drive to create something that no one's ever seen before.
See, and I actually, if I had to choose, I'm a much bigger fan of Penn and Teller's take, where the foreword to this book, it's you see an essay that exchanged between Teller and I that really shaped my career. But in my part of the essay, I asked him, I said, you know, I'm trying to let hate, not love, be my driving force. And people ask me what that means. In an article, I think it was in Genie magazine a billion years ago, Penn or Teller said that when you love something and you try to be it, the best you will achieve is be a pale imitation of what you love. Yeah. Whereas if you let hate be your driving force and you insist on being the opposite of everything you hate in an art, then you create something every bit as valid and as good. However, it's unique and original. So it's like, don't, and for me personally, it was like, I knew I wanted to be Penn and Teller, but there already was a Penn and Teller. It wasn't going to happen. So it's like, so if I'm not going to try to let my love for them lead the way, then I needed to do something else. And so for me, it's like, what do I hate in magic? I'm like, I hate the bright colors and the sequins. I hate the stock lines, the fact that you could tell somebody's just waiting for the next opportunity to throw in a one-liner that he has pre-prepared. I hated the out-of-date music that I was hearing in performances. And so everything that I put into my show was raw, it was visceral, and it was, as far as I know, you know, completely unique in its own way.
Do you think that idea, that sequined, you know, stage illusionist kind of idea, has been sort of officially replaced in pop culture with the tight jeans affliction t-shirt?
Yeah, I'll
between,
tell you.
But between Blaine and Angel, and there's been a million other people that have, Dynamo's huge in the UK. Keith Barry was on American television last year. Dan White did his thing. But it almost seems like now, when you think of when they want to do the stock magician character in a movie or something, they're no longer the top hat or the 80s, you know, sequin, you know, you know, vests, you know, kind of
shirts,
the yeah, cummerbund, poofy shirt, Copperfield sort of thing. It's so now, again, now it's the street magician.
I would totally agree with that. And that is meant only as a compliment to the success of somebody like a Chris Angel, because obviously it doesn't become overly done without, you know, somebody having done it so powerfully and visually and successfully that everyone knows, you know, who to copy now. But yeah, when I remember when David Blaine came on the scene, his whole thing was to be just a rejection of what you were seeing on World's Greatest Magic. It wasn't polished. It wasn't a bunch of chatter and lines and music. It was nothing at all but a guy on the street with a deck of cards. And I remember being bummed because it was like, well, you replaced this picture with this blank canvas. And when Chris Angel first came on, I was really stoked because I'm like, oh, good, this guy's at least trying to inject some personality and excitement into it. But you're right. Now, you know, he did such a powerful character that now it's ripe for parody and it's overdone. Somebody could make it.
It's distinctive. I mean, like, comedy comes from recognition. So you can't, right. Like, I can't be like, oh, hey, everybody, I got a great impression for you. Hey, look at me. I'm Doug. I'm Doug. See, that's Doug. That's my friend Doug, because nobody knows Doug.
Yes, exactly.
You know, you have to do something that people recognize so they can know whether or not it's funny. There was actually a really, really, really good one here. Let me see if I can find it.
Yeah,
Cross Me Jeff. Right. Which is more valuable, free drinks or smiling and laughing audience? And it sounds kind of like a silly question, but I'd like to ask you, obviously with Scam School, kind of the sexy hook is like, hey, invest 4 minutes and you'll have a free beer tonight because you can memorize this super awesome way that you get. It's like, you know, the reason why it fits on Revision 3 is like it's hacking. You know, it's social hackery. So, where now.
Well, and that was the reason that we had created the tagline, you know, the only show dedicated to social engineering at the bar on the street, is because Revision 3 has traditionally been a tech network. Nowadays, they do all kinds of geek culture stuff. But at the time, it was all tech shows, and I was trying to shoehorn my way into their tech network with this hook on there. And I didn't want it to be... hey, learn magic to impress your friends, just because there's a billion other things that do that. I love the idea of a specific measurable hook. And so we always made it about scoring a free drink at the bar. And the truth is, you know, I buy them drinks at the shoots. It doesn't really matter. But
it's, fraud revealed!
Yeah. Scam school is a scam! But I will tell you this much.
Inside of a scam.
Exactly. Scamception. Yo, dog, I heard you like scams. So before the show started, I got really worried that I was a fraud and a liar because I was like, you know, I'm telling everyone these will buy
one
free
day
drink.
I'll be revealed live on YouTube.
Exactly. Exactly. And so I went to a hotel bar. It was a Holiday Inn in outside of Lincoln, Nebraska. I had a day off and I was like, I'm going to put these to the test. I need to know they work. I don't want to be a fraud. So I said, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to buy my first beer myself and I'm just going to introduce myself and I'm going to not pay for another beer. I'm going to use these to win the beers.
Did you want to like leave a certain level of drunk?
Oh, sure. I mean, the more I drank, the more obviously awesome of a performer I must be.
So you're
right?
Like, if I black out, then yes. I am the best ever.
That is the night that I learned you should never drink with a mission. You should never, like, it was brutal, man. It was probably the most hungover I'd been in 5 years or whatever.
But that's a glorious hangover. Oh, that's God, a beautiful hangover.
You wake up, it feels like success. Like, I'm talented.
Exactly. Every time my head pounds, it's the thumping timpani of victory.
Yes, that's exactly what it was like. But, you know, and at some point, you could tell if you go back and watch the old episodes of Scam School that we've really relaxed as far as, you know, like now it's like, you know, you'll buy me a drink for X, Y, or Z. And to be honest, it's like as long as you're having a good time putting on the show, people buy you drinks anyway. If you're fun and funny and interesting, you can just turn and be like, hey, why don't you give me a drink? And they're like, sure. And then that's it. You got pay for play. You can keep on performing.
But I mean, in your ideal situation, it is, and that's why I wanted to ask you this, because, like, you know, the free drink obviously is awesome. Nobody will turn down a free drink, you know, and even if you don't drink alcohol, if you drink Coca-Cola, sure. Someone's like, hey, would you like a Coke? And you would like a Coke, then you'd be like, yes, please give it to me.
Yep.
No one's going to say no. But I think far more, and the reason why a lot of people get into magic is because they want an icebreaker, and not only for talking to people of the opposite sex or the same sex, if that's what you're into, but also just for friendship, companionship, that, you know, people kind of justify, you know, especially in magic. Listen, Brian, put on your seatbelt. I'm going to break something down to you. A lot of people who get into magic are fairly isolationist and not great in terms of dealing with people socially.
Are you saying that a lot of people hit the puberty and suddenly feel socially awkward and want some structural way in order to introduce themselves and have an interaction?
I'm just saying, here's a sentence never said. Man, I keep having sex with every girl I've ever met. Now I should learn some magic. Humanity has gone by, and until I uttered those words, it had never been said in human history. Yes. But Scam School is great for those elements, for those icebreaker elements. If you're, you know, with a bunch of people at a study group or something like that, and you're just, you know, you're bored or whatever, and you're the quiet kid in class, you can pull out this one thing, and now all of a sudden, it's a great way to keep talking. And that's so much more.
You know what else is? It even goes beyond that, because if you have that in your back pocket, if you know at any time you can bust out this trick, it gives you immediate confidence to where you can start interacting. It makes everything else better. You all of a sudden, you start talking like a badass because you know that if you need to, you can rely on this to be more interesting. And then you never even end up pulling the trick out because you're too busy having a good time and making jokes and talking about other stuff. It's that it can be a crutch for some people. There are people I know who just are incapable of having a social interaction at a party without pulling out the tricks. And it's to an annoying point. And they're constantly fidgeting with cards in front of people, just inwardly begging them. They're like, somebody noticed this awesome card stuff I'm doing. Please ask me if I know any tricks. But it's you don't need that. You can go beyond that. And I think that's something that we hopefully make clear in scam school.
You know, it's interesting because a lot of magic is, like you said, it's selling the costume. It's selling the illusion of, hey, look at this awesome, you know, Danny Garcia effect. You know, like sure, you can sure. be inhabit the skin of Danny Garcia. Like,
yeah,
you know, and this is in scam school is great because I'm sure that there are a lot of people who are like, well, I would like to be Brian Brushwood roaming around the country, scamming free drinks hither and non. But it's easy and simple, and it does create a good social bond. Oh man, there was a really, really good, oh, King of Cards says, that's exactly how I got into magic. I actually have a speech impediment, and magic, and by extension, scam school totally, got me through that, which is really, really awesome. Also, correcting me, GHIDFG said, nah, F word off. We're in it for the drinks. Which that's fine. No,
anyway, King of Cards 91. I just noticed said, man, I've been so guilty of that, sitting with cards flashing. That's the reason I know it. I was that guy for 4 years, and it was a big concerted effort. Once I started doing magic professionally, I was like, I can't be that guy who all the time is doing magic. Now that this is a job, that'll be my excuse to not really do magic socially. And so for a good like 5 years, I would just refuse to do magic. And I was kind of a jerk about it. People would be like, oh, you're a magician? Show me a trick. And I'd be like, oh, you're an accountant? Do my taxes. Nowadays, though, I mellowed on it. And I, you know, because most people are asking because they genuinely do want to see something. But a lot of people just knee-jerk reflexively say, magic, show me a trick. And then you find yourself performing in the worst possible situations where you got somebody who is there
on
to
the
bust
space
you.
Shuttle.
In the middle,
yeah, exactly. when you're a getaway driver for a bank robbery, they're like go left on Main. Oh, you're a magician? Can you show me something?
Yeah. Well, no. It's like you don't want to. I get a bunch of emails from people who are just getting started, and they say, "Oh, my sister smacks the cards out of my hand while I'm performing, and you know, how do I make them not try to screw up my tricks?" And I'm just like, "Don't. You have the power. Just don't. You got the touch. You don't say no to perform.
You got the touch."
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad you were there for me on that.
All right. So let's talk about this book specifically. When you're devising it, because again, I do think that in 3 months, when people see the success of this book and they really, people who know and people who care and people who want to know where ebooks are going and really want to understand why it's different and the capabilities that you're looking at now that, I mean, the reviews just hit today to date the podcast for the iPad 3. It's going to be released in the next couple days. And again, we're going to have just even more market saturation of tablet computers in general. What was on your list of what is on the ultimate ebook?
Number one, links to all of the Scam School episodes. So that's one of the first things that we made sure to do. Okay. Is every single chapter you'll see has in there a link that says watch full episode, and that'll pop you straight to the actual full episode, which I like that a lot because you can read the words and understand it. You can listen to the audio commentary and get the behind the scenes on it. You can see the video and understand the mechanics of it. But then you're like, but socially, what do you say to start setting this up? And because Scam School, every episode, we really do grab random people from the bar. They're not preset. We don't have actors or anything like that. And so you actually get the in the trenches experience with it.
These are links, right? So if you are on a tablet that is not currently connected to the internet, then you won't be able to get it until you get onto a Wi-Fi thing. But
correct,
but the entire trick itself, as well as, you know, a visual element of you shooting, you know, and that we're watching right now live, a video of you performing the effect is there, and that's not a link. That's immediately right there embedded in the ebook, right?
Yeah, correct. And I'll tell you, man, that's the awesome thing about this is that we're able to put in 40 kind of living video illustrations and 70 audio commentary tracks, which as far as I know, I don't think I've ever seen a book that had audio commentary tracks for every single trick. And it gives you – it's great because there's so many things – when I wrote The Professional's Guide to Fire Eating, I found myself every time I finished one chapter or section just wanting to say more about it, but there not being any place appropriate to stick it in because it's like at some point you start putting too much thought into too many of the different aspects of it. And then it just becomes tedious to even learn from because you're reading all this, you know. And then one time I did the trick and an old lady said, blah. And it's like at some point people tune out and you stop caring. But the audio commentary is perfect because it's an extra tidbit, an extra layer. And it's the voice of the author talking directly into your ear.
How long did this take?
Half a year. I mean,
from what point? Like what point are we considering the beginning and what were the hardest elements to put together?
I'll tell you, the hardest elements was figuring out how to deal with what a mess the ebook format jungle is right now, just in general. Because
it's evolving, it is going through its. I don't even want to say teen years; it's tween years right now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like you've got.
It's watching Disney XD.
There you go. You've got dot Mobi. You got EPUB, and like some of them allow you to, for example. It was not possible until just a few weeks ago to wrap text around a picture. You could not do it in any platform at all. And I knew that was the biggest thing is I wanted it to be pretty and I wanted it to be highly visual. I wanted to have a ton of pictures. I wanted it to be easy and fun to read. And that was all not doable until this new platform came out, Vook.com, V-O-O-K. And they had a beta test program and they said, hey, what we want to do is take a few beta testers to try this stuff out. And our goal is for you to be able to create your book in our platform. And then you click one button and we translate it over into dot Mobi, into dot to EPUB. We publish it with the Nook store, on the Amazon store, on the iBook store. And it was a dream come true. Now, even then, there was still being in beta. It was terrifying to have half the book written and have that suddenly vanish, like completely vanish. And so I had to call them up and they're like, oh, we got a mirror backed up here somewhere. And once we got it done though, I mean, it's amazing what it's made possible. And now that we've solved all of these problems and we've solved all these questions, we have a simple way, a template for the next book. And we already have the content already sketched out for the next two books. But now it's just a matter of putting it all together. It's going to be tedious and labor intensive. But I honestly think not only is this going to be the most advanced magic guide out there, but it's also going to be one of the most comprehensive because by the time that third book comes out, you're going to be creeping up on almost 300 tricks and a back catalog of 300 episodes of Scam School to pull it from.
Now, obviously, fans of yours from other projects like NSFW Show or Frame Rate or people who've seen you on This Week in Tech or TNT are going to buy this. Scam School fans, of course, are going to want to buy this. And Magic fans, who hear about it, they'll want to buy everything, that really just want to see because they have a vested interest in what Magic stuff is out there on the market, are going to buy it. Who else do you view as the perfect consumer for something like this? Like what person, if you could talk to this group right now and say, dude, I made this for you. This is your thing, buddy.
Well, don't count out of the magicians out there. I'm sure there's some number of magicians out there that think, oh, this is going to be entry-level stuff. It's going to be beginner stuff. Here's the thing. The content was selected based purely on the pain to glory ratio for all of these. So some of these will be super beginner stuff to you, somebody more advanced, but there will be dozens of other tricks because if something fools me, then it goes on Scam School. And once it's on Scam School, we look at putting it into this book. I love, and I mean that sincerely, everything from how to throw playing cards to how to fake throw playing cards, which makes sense when you read the book. I don't know that there's one key demographic out there. I would love it if the book had a reputation for saying, here is the guide, read this, and you will be interesting at whatever party you go to. And yeah. I think that is a fair promise to make. If you read these and you learn these tricks, you will be interesting and it will
We are guaranteeing at least a 6% uptick in interesting.
As measured, yeah, accounting for inflation, correct?
Yes. Well, of course, I mean, you got to account for the price of gold, but 6% is a easy basement figure that we're tossing out there. All right, real quick. You mentioned that it is an absolute jungle out there in terms of ebook formats and where you can buy them, what you can do on each one. New devices are coming out constantly. We're still kind of in a race to unify exactly what people can do, not only in a business sense for companies like Apple and Amazon, but also on a technology sense as, rapidly we become things that were impossible to do on a tablet 4 years ago are now super easy, and who knows how that curve will continue to go up. break down really quickly in the different formats, what is the optimal one for people to buy and what maybe at launch are not and how that will change going forward.
Yeah. Well, it's safe to say right now, as of today, next week, it may be different, but the an iOS device will be the prettiest way to see it because of that's just for the way it handles it in the iBooks format. It will be complete no matter which way you do it, because what we did is we set up redundancy because, for example, and for the people watching the video, I'm showing it right now, you'll notice that the embedded images just show up like you just click play on a picture and the picture suddenly comes to life and starts moving. The problem is that Amazon is all over the map in the Kindle side of things and that they've got different apps to read Kindle books. You can read them on your computer. You can read it on an Android device. You can read them on an iOS device. When you go to Amazon and you look at the book, it will say media enhanced and it'll say media enhanced only visible on iPad or iPhones at this time. Now, to get around that, what we did is we set in links, external links to all of the video and audio content. So that way, whether you got a Kindle Fire, whether you got it on an Android, whether you're reading it on the computer, it doesn't matter. You'll be able to see everything. It's just that at this minute, it's prettiest on iOS devices, but it could be tomorrow. Amazon could come out with a new Kindle Reader app for Android, and then all of a sudden it appears right there in line as embedded text and audio the way it does on iOS. So there
will be no update from you.
No, you won't. If you buy the book, you'll have all of the content. You'll just download the new version from Amazon, and then all of a sudden everything will be formatted prettier for you.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, folks. By the time this, I'm going to put this out as soon as we're done recording it. So it will be out probably for people who download it immediately and listen to it while the introductory price is going on. But tell everybody how much it's going to cost now, how much it's going to cost.
God, this is the part that kills me. Like, I start to wonder if I'm making a big mistake. By the way, apparently watching live is my assistant and producer, the guy who did all the doodles in the book, John Tilton, just reminded me that on the Barnes & Noble Nook, everything looks beautiful. All the videos and all the audios look. Somebody, since none of us had a Nook, we didn't know until after publishing date.
Nice.
We asked someone out there, like, if anyone has a Nook, please take a video and show us what it looks like. It looks fantastic on the Nook. Retail price, I'm only going to do $9.99. And for launch day, we're in the middle of an experiment. We've already put in order to bring the price back up to $9.99, but we launched it at only $4.99 with the intention of saying, let's get everybody to try buy it the exact same day and see if we can't get to the top of the charts. And as we're talking right now, last time I checked, it was number 3 on the iTunes bookstore out of all books, full stop, and in the top 50 on Amazon, which is very flattering, very exciting.
I mean, that's a huge success. That's for a magic book, for a book about magics, that's crazy.
Don't
the last yourself. Magic book that had this kind of impact was the Necronomicon.
I'm going to put that on the dust jacket when we get a physical copy.
Better. It's insane. It's crazy to look at this. And $9.99, folks, it's super cheap. 200 tricks are in the book. And again, I cannot say
only
enough about it.
80 tricks, 80 tricks. 200 episodes of
200 episodes, 80 tricks. 200 episodes worth of tricks.
Yeah, correct.
Whatever, you animals. You're going to get your money's worth. There's no way that you're not.
And that's sort of, I'll tell you, that's one of the nice things. Like, as an experiment, we took my little pitch book, 57 Ways to Scam a Free Drink, where it's like basically you get a paragraph on each of the tricks, you kind of thing that you would sell in the back of the room sales after the show. And we just wanted to get it up on eBooks. But it's so, the whole thing's like less than 30 pages long. It's almost a pamphlet. So I got a little bit of pushback from a couple of people to be like, I expected more, but you only charged me 99 cents. I'll tell you this much. For less than $10 right now, less than $5. This is no lie, the most advanced magic instructional book created to date. And I'm so proud of it. And I'll stand by that forever. I don't think anyone's going to be upset. Nobody's going to ask for their money back.
All right, real quick. Bob Sinclair 007 says, I watch your videos and feel inspired. Do you have someone or something that inspires you? We've covered your magic influences, Brian. Let's go outside of that. What non-magic influence inspires you the most?
Oh my God, that's a really good question. I mean, obviously, from within.
Say that one more time. I get a free sub.
Oh my gosh, it's well, you just keep asking these such good questions. You're so handsome. I got to tell you, like looking outside, I find very weird influences, or I see people doing things and I'm like, how on earth do they do that? And I just want to find a way to get that talent. You and I talked about like somebody like a Rush Limbaugh, who has the ability to sit down and have a million people listen to him talk to himself alone in a room. That's unreal. How does a person do that?
Yes, a bit of a controversial example in today's climate, but certainly the talent is undeniable.
But no, yeah, look, I'm not saying I want to be Rush Limbaugh. I'm just saying like that of anyone, you can't deny he's got a talent to run his mouth off alone in a room, and that yeah. is unreal.
And be provocative sometimes to his own detriment, as CEO had to apologize for.
But absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. And certainly, you know, a lot of my heroes are in podcasting. They're in the early days of podcasting. I saw people who were striking out outside of traditional media, going it alone, using the internet as leverage. So, you know, obviously Leo Laporte and the entire crew over at Revision 3, they are pioneers of media, and what they do will determine the way everything's consumed. I mean, look at what's happening right now. There are tens of thousands of people that are going to hear this, and it, we're live streaming it right now on a platform that didn't even exist 6 years ago, just before, I don't know, 8 years ago. Yeah. Everything's going to continue to change, and it's, I look for influence, I look to the people who are fearlessly running forward with it. You know what I mean?
They're banging against the walls, you know, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But I mean, I think it's that belief that of course it's going to happen. You know, it's going to happen because it's happening in my head and I can see a path. I don't know whether it actually works, but the path makes sense in my head and I'm going to walk it. I know. I mean, we've talked about this a lot. A lot of these questions, I'm just going to let you know, guys, they're just completely fake because I've talked to Brian probably more than my own mother. You know, and you know, so yes, I think that that's totally an inspiring element. People are, by the way, saying that you sound like Charlie Sheen when you go into your low register. That if
Me?
You close your eyes, yeah, that this what? Is all right. So just folks, people are saying right now in the YouTube chat room, this is something I've never heard. I just said how much I talked to Brian, how many times that I've been, I mean, like probably podcasting hours with Brian. I think we're probably, you know, eclipsing 3,000 at this point.
Oh, easily.
If not more. I've never heard anybody say that you sound like Charlie Sheen when you close your eyes. So just play along at home, kids, in the short time that we have left in this podcast. Or maybe go back and listen to it again and listen for the Charlie Sheen-ness.
Prepare for scam school. You think you can handle scam school? You'll die.
Wow. I do kind of sound like Charlie Sheen.
Not bad, actually. No. Yeah, maybe I'll go crazy with my career.
All right, Brian. Well, is there anything else about the Scam School book that we haven't touched? I feel like we hit all the bases.
No. We hit all the big points. The main thing is understand that these aren't even necessarily the best of all the tricks. There's stuff that hasn't made it on the Scam School yet. There's stuff that's from there. We didn't like cherry pick, like, these are the best, and the next book are going to be the less good ones. We were really amazed with the amount of material that we were really excited about, and we realized originally it was just going to be two books, but we're like, I think we got three books here. So now we're going to try to get back into it, and hopefully you'll hear from me again sometime during the summer, trying to get people to grab some more.
Absolutely. And let me also just really quick, you mentioned your road manager and the guy who put together this book, John Tilton. You know, he poured his heart and soul into this. I think it's as much his book as it is yours. And
absolutely. He is the physical drive that made everything happen. He had the ability to, you know, he was, you know, especially in that last week as we were coming up on our hard deadline. I guess that's the only other thing. This was a book, had over 600 books created in its beta test program. And at the end, they say, we're going to have a contest. We'll have the best designed book, the best content in a book, and the best overall book. And as we got close to that deadline, you know, we're just rushing. There were entire chapters that just weren't written. And so I was like, let me get it halfway, put in there, and we did the best we could, and it was John that really drove us forward then, and much to my delight and surprise, Vuk named it the best overall book out of the entire beta test program, which was very exciting.
Hey, super talented. And, you know, I really think if you like the book, then you owe a thank you to @JohnTilton on Twitter, because he poured his heart and soul into all of this. All right. Well, I'll tell you what, Brian, just for those for I know you'd be interested in, for any of those keeping track at home. So far in the YouTube chat room, I've gotten Hispanic and Indian trying to pin down my ambiguous racial makeup. None correct yet. So, or maybe not correct. I don't know. Who knows? It's a mystery. The internet's mystery. What is the race of Justin Robert Young? but there we go. Brian, Scam School book available. ScamSchoolBook.com. Where else can either people get information on that or you personally?
On the Twitter, just look for Brian Brushwood. You'll see, like, I got a, I'm pretty heavy into Google Plus these days. I never had a blog, and now I finally have a blog, because that's pretty much what Google Plus is.
And you want to know what I think? Because I've seen a couple comments in the chat room, and there's something, and we can cut this out of the podcast if you want to, but I'm gonna ask you.
All right.
They when Louis C.K. Did his experiment of putting out his special for As Cheap As He Did and making it super easy. His point was as easy as possible to do it. Just give you his money and or give you the money, and then he will give it to you copyright unprotected. It seems like a rite of passage for any of these kind of internet savvy, you know, non-DRM'd projects, is the obligatory conversation about piracy, or specifically the personal. You are Jimmy Wales. It is your personal appeal as to the guidelines on piracy. What would you have to say on that? Because I feel like it's almost. But do you agree? It's almost part of the ritual now for any of these kind of projects.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sure. No. We'll go ahead and have that conversation. Like, look, man. This is America. Or if you're not in America, it's whatever country you're in. But I don't get to tell you what to do. And if you want to steal my book, I am physically incapable of stopping you. Having said that, if you steal the book, especially since it currently costs less than a single beer, you're an asshole. that's all I'm going to say.
And I can think of no better note to end this episode on. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to the Magic Week in Review. Remember to visit TrickShotMagic.com for all your magic needs. And Brian Brushwood, one more time, @Schwood, ScamSchoolBook.com is where you can get all the information for the book. iTricks.com is all you need to know. If you want, that's all you needed to say. If you want to get magic news on the internet, news stories every single day. And if you're listening to this, Brian Brushwood has been our guest editor and will be for the next 2 days on iTricks, talking about all sorts of cool stuff. At iTricks on Twitter. If you want to follow me, I'm @JustinRYoung. Bang and gone, folks.
iTricks.com.